You know, from the human side, it's so difficult to say goodbye. If you're a member of my family or you're part of friends and you suddenly capture an evening together after having an experience of one another for a long time, either as family or as friends, engaging in some type of work, when you're saying goodbye, you almost say it three or four or five times. You know, by the time you actually get to the car, I mean, you're saying goodbye, the hugs, the kisses, we've got to keep in contact, we've got to do that. You don't want to let go because you know that there's always been something special in the relationship. I often try to imagine what the apostles must have been experiencing when they, who were now with Jesus, had to realize that Jesus was going to be taken from them. This Jesus who had been taken from them in the crucifixion, returned to them through the resurrection. And now that same Jesus is leaving them to return to the Father. He's with them. They lose him. He returns to them. And now he will leave them. Many aspects of our lives are encounters and then separations. We cherish the moments with friends and relatives, realizing we can't hold on to them forever. There are particular departures that signal one's life will never be the same. A young man or woman going off to college knows that although mom and dad will represent home, they now find themselves away from their home and school for most of the year. As a college seminarian in my first year, our formation department, after having been together and lived for about 6 months, decided it would be good to try to take these 18-year-olds and sensitize them. So we had group T groups, what they refer to. And so 12 to 14 of us would be put together under a group leader, you know, a directed group leader, and they're trying to sensitize an 18-year-old. Could you imagine that, trying to sensitize an 18-year-old? But in terms of their sense, one of the practices that I remember very distinctly was one where the group leader kind of challenged us to share something that others would be surprised by us saying. It wasn't necessarily anything nefarious or wrong, but it was just something about us that would surprise the other members of the group. Unfortunately, I had the unenvious position to be first. So they looked at me and said, okay, Jerome, you start. So I looked at them and I said, you know what probably surprised you is the first day when I was dropped off by my parents here to the seminary, now we would be living apart in the college seminary, we'd be living apart from our parents, from our homes, from our communities, from some of our friends. And then, of course, the introduction to it was really tough. I mean, it was rigorous. We were given the rules and the rule of life that we had to live by. It was really pretty stark. So I remember going up to my room and I said to everybody, I said, you'd probably be surprised that I kind of cried myself to sleep that night. I looked around to receive the guffaws of the rest of the members of the group when almost one person after the other said, so did I, so did I, so did I. It was that separation that was there. You realized that your life was now going to change. A bride and a groom taking their vows realize that at this solemn moment, it means a reshaping of their lives. They alter their lives to blend as one. I remember performing very clearly a wedding. And it came time for the vows. And this really big, strapping young man who had played college football and who had played high school football, and he stood about 6'3", and he was looking at into the eyes of his bride. And we started the vows, and he started crying, and he couldn't get through them. Until his now wife of some 20-plus odd years reached over and grabbed his hand and held it, able to get through it. When I talked to him afterwards, he said to me, he said, oh, Father, he said, just flooded over me that now I was starting my own family. I'd been so blessed to have a family of my own. And now it was going to be different. it was going to change. And I can tell you that a young man ordained by the imposition of hands by a bishop assumes a responsibility for Christ and his church that he merely studied in the seminary or observed through the priesthood of others. Yesterday I ordained two young men. Well, one not so young, who had been actually a doctor, he's in his 50s, but the other a young man. And I could see in both of them that now after the imposition of hands, they suddenly were father. They suddenly now were going to offer the sacrifice of the Mass. They were going to be instruments of God's grace. Their lives radically changed. Radically changed. These new relationships are never immediately understood. This radical change, which affects the very person, takes time and is lived out in the new reality. I remember the day after I was ordained a priest, I had celebrated a Mass for the sisters who taught me in grammar school. Finishing the convent Mass, I returned to the church sacristy. While I was removing my vestments, a person came into the sacristy and asked to go to confession. I responded and looked right in the eyes and said, "Wait here, I'll get a priest." As I turned, I realized, hey, I'm a priest. I'm a priest. I bring these examples to mind because the disciples now must assume a new relationship to Christ. It's key. This is the same challenge to us that we must take Christ into the world. What does it say? Go into the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. An urgency to make sure that this message that is given to us of the love of God through Jesus Christ is offered to everyone. And maybe in our complacent society, where we take things for granted, we need to be more intentional about that, about who we are, what's been given to us, and the grace of taking that Jesus life seriously into our relationships that we encounter. We must be bearers of the good news that faith in Jesus and his gospel offers life and love. Although they were saying goodbye to the Lord, at the same time they were accepting a mission to bring Christ to others. Now they would not fully realize the extent of that mission until the coming of that Holy Spirit down into their lives, which literally emboldened them to do the things that they did. That same Holy Spirit that we have. Same Holy Spirit that most everyone here in this church has. Do we realize the mission that we've been given? Or do we still linger trying to figure out what the love of Jesus means to us? This Jesus who gives himself to us in the Eucharist. The answer is found in the direction given by the mysterious two white-robed men. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking up into the heaven? This Jesus, who was taken from you to heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." At the end of the Mass, you will hear our deacon direct us to go. The Mass is ended. Take that Christ into the world. Take that charge seriously and offer hope to a world that is lost. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.